Well, good evening, Lakeview Baptist Church. I'm blessed to be here behind this pulpit and to preach God's Word. I'm so thankful for you all. The first time I approached this pulpit was back in March 2009. I was a young believer, and I gave testimony that day of what God had done in my life. And I come here today thanking you, as you are my church family. I love you dearly. And my pilgrimage thus far with the Lord has been through your leadership, your discipleship, and your care. And so I just want to agree with Rhino and express my gratitude for you all. And thank you so much for your commitment to God, your commitment to the Lord and to His Word. And so thank you. Thank you for all who has been praying. Back as a college student, I used to entertain the thought of being in the next seminary program. And I remember watching the guys preach on Sunday nights, and I used to think, if I do that program, I don't have to get up there and preach. And it was a deciding factor on me. I didn't want to do the program just for that fact, because you all intimidate me with your love and passion for the Lord. But today, coming up here, I feel confident and loved and thankful to have this opportunity. And so thank you all for praying. If you'll turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, titled, Making the Most of Every Opportunity. Church, do you seek the opportunities or take the opportunities to share the gospel every day? Whether you're on the workforce, whether you're on leisure activity, whether you're in the park, on the ball field, or wherever you may be, do you take the opportunities when they come? Do you seek the opportunities to share your faith, to share the good news of Christ Jesus? In tonight's text, we see where Peter is being intentional, he's being confident, he's being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know Peter as Simon Peter, as the most prominent of the 12 apostles, as a fisherman, a pioneer in the early church, and as the one who denied Christ three times. The book of Acts, we see the birth of the church. We see where persecution leads to expansion. We see the beginnings of the Gentile Christianity, and we see the great missionary journeys. So in Acts 3, verses 1 through 16, we see Peter making the most of every opportunity. So if you'll follow along with me as I read tonight's text. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You hand him over to be killed, and you disown him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let him go, you disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity we have, Father, to be in fellowship, to be in prayer, to be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, oh God, that we don't have to work our way to see you one day, that the work has been done in the cross of Jesus Christ. We are in desperate need, oh God, of you each and every day. And we pray, oh Holy Spirit, bless us. As we open your word, oh God, this night, bless us, oh Lord. Teach us, open our ears, open our hearts to your word, and show us what you want us to see. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So here we see in this passage where Peter is being intentional, confident, and faithful. First, in verses 1 through 5, Peter is intentional. It says, as one day when Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, Peter and John are still involved in their Jewish routine, their Jewish practices. They're not called Christians yet until Antioch. So they're still involved in the Jewish way of life. And there we see in verse 2, a man crippled from birth is carried to the temple gate called Beautiful every day. This gate, the name of this gate is called Beautiful, not the crippled beggar. And most scholars say the reason it is called Beautiful is because it probably literally is beautiful. It probably is full of gold, full of silver, and many other items to express its beauty. The beggar was there every day. Beggars were probably common during this time, as they are today and through the generations of this world. And we see there, verse 3, where Peter and John are about to enter, and the cripple asked them for money. In verse 4, it says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And some scholars say that the beggars, their practice was not to look at the people they're begging to in the eye, to keep their eyes from them and to beg for the money. But here, Peter has something to tell him. Peter looks at him and says, look at us. And so there we read in verse 5, the man gave them his attention and was expecting to get something from them. So we see here Peter and John took the opportunity. They probably had seen this beggar on a normal routine. It says that the beggar was there every day. So that's how the beggar probably lived his life. He lived it off the income of begging and receiving money from those who were going into the temple. So Peter had probably seen him on a regular routine, but today something has changed. And Peter took this opportunity today here in this text to preach the gospel to Jesus Christ, to the crippled beggar. And we see the same intentional attitude in Jesus' early ministry. Luke 5, the paralytic. When the paralytic was healed, Jesus was in a house where there was many people. It was crowded, and some friends were carrying a paralytic on a mat. They could not get him in there. They went to the roof, ripped the tile off, lowered the paralytic down to Jesus, and Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Your sins are forgiven. And 24th verse of that chapter 5 of Luke, it says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Some of there watching were saying, who is this to forgive sins? Only God alone can do that. So here Jesus reveals his purpose through the opportunity of healing the paralytic. Another story is the healing of the demon-possessed man in Luke 8. When Jesus arrived to the region, this man come running from the hills, and Jesus took that opportunity. This man was a demon-possessed man. He was shackled, chained, hand and foot. He was deserted from the people. The people could not do anything for him anymore, so they had given hope on him. Jesus took the opportunity to heal him, casted out the demons. They went into the pigs. The man was completely healed, and all the crowd see this, and it pointed to Christ. Here we see just two situations in the book of Luke where Jesus takes the opportunity in a public witness to heal someone. You know, growing up, well, coming here at Lakeview into college and this being my beginning of my pilgrimage with the Lord, I had the opportunity to go on mission trips, as most of you have. And I encourage you to go on them. But my first one was to London. And going to London, I had this Billy Graham expectation that we were going to go there. It was in 2009. I was a young believer. I was going to go there and we were going to see these mass numbers of people come to faith. That we were going to share the gospel and left and right. People were going to come to faith. But that wasn't the case. We got there and a lot of people were rude. A lot of people were mean. A lot of people didn't want to hear what we wanted to say. And I was just completely confused that, you know, there wasn't anybody coming to faith. That we were there with the gospel. We had sacrificed a little bit of money. We had sacrificed time. We were in London. Shouldn't these people come to faith? Well, the Lord taught me on that experience as I began to reflect at the end of the trip what we did. What we did, we woke up as a group every morning. We met together. We prayed. We had devotion. And then we went out. And what we did, our goal each day was to engage in conversation with someone, to look for someone who was sitting alone, who were sitting or walking by themselves, and to engage in conversation with that person and share the gospel with them. And that was our goal each day. Some days it was organized. Some days we would go on the street as a team. Sometimes it was just looking for opportunities when we were out eating or whatever we may have been doing. But the Lord taught me and kind of convicted me, Bo, why do you have to wait till special events to share the gospel faithfully? Why do you have to go to London to share every day? Why can't you do that in Auburn? And so through that conviction, the ride home, getting home that summer and just kind of grasping that conviction, through that whole summer of 2009, I thought about that. And the fall of 2009, I began to try to live that out and share the gospel faithfully. And I began to learn that the opportunities are everywhere. Just this past Thursday night, a group of us, as we usually do on Thursday night, goes downtown on the bars and shares our faith. And last Thursday night was Halloween night, so it was crazy. And there was a lot of people. But I was able to engage in a conversation with several people. And I know most of our team did as well. But I was able to talk to four guys from Saudi Arabia who are Muslims and have only been here just a couple months. And they may only be here a few years now. But I was able to share the love of Christ. I was able to point to the activities that were going on in that bar and say, please, guys, don't think this is Christianity. We are not a Christian nation. I encourage them. I said, go to the scriptures and find out what Christianity is all about. I shared with them a quick story of Christ and then welcomed them here in Auburn and said my goodbyes. But just my encouragement to you all is be intentional. Look for those opportunities in your everyday life. So in verses 1 through 5, we see where Peter is intentional. Second, in verses 6 through 10, we see where Peter is confident. After the crippled beggar looked at Peter, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Look how Peter ends it. Walk. And begins verse 7 by taking him by the right hand. He helped him up. Here you see the confidence Peter has that he knew, given him Christ, this man would be healed. And there we see the second point there. Instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. This man was healed completely. Verse 8, we see where they enter the temple praising God. Verse 9 and 10, we see where the people began to recognize this man who was walking and praising God as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. There's two insights in here I gained through just these two verses of 9 and 10. Is one, why is the name of this gate Beautiful referenced twice in verse 2 and in verse 10? I think what the author and the intent of the author right here is what he's trying to get out of the text is that, you know, this crippled beggar had been there every day on a normal routine. He probably lived off the gold and silver that was provided for him, that was given to him from the people going into the temple gate. And that's probably how he lived his life. That's how he made his income. But as we know, and as Peter knew, it was not gold or silver what he needed. He needed Christ. And I think that's what the author is trying to tell us there, is that the means of gold and silver was there. He could get that by the generosity of the people. But what he needed was salvation. What he needed to know was the fulfillment of the law. What he needed to know was that Christ is king, that Christ saves him from his sins. And that is what Peter was doing. Peter was confident and gave him Christ instead of gold or silver. Another insight here is just a simple fact that healing points to Christ. Acts 4, verse 4 says, "But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Verse 16 through 22. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So there we see what this healing did. It brought about a crowd that Peter pointed to Christ. I have two people in my life I love dearly, and I know them well. I've known them most of my life, and when I come to the Lord, they were two people that was put on my heart, a burden for their salvation. But I used to think as I prayed for them, God, how can you save these people? I mean, I know them, I know who they are, I know their ways, and I don't see them repenting and trusting in you, O Lord. And I've been blessed here recently to watch God's grace change these two people. And the beautiful thing about that picture is that I'm not the only one watching God change those two. They have a lot of family. They have a lot of friends that know them just as well as I do, if not better. And what are they thinking? What is going on? Who is changing them? What is changing them? And it is pointing those people to Christ. We see in the Gospels, we see how God likes to save households. He likes to call one member of that household out of darkness, puts them in light, the whole family goes to light. Praise God for that, church. And I encourage you, be confident in the gospel. Take the gospel to those people that you don't think can be changed by it, and watch the power of God change their lives. The message we carry, church, changes. The message we have is powerful. Be confident in it. Verses 6 through 10, we see Peter's confidence. Third, we see Peter's faithfulness. Verses 11 through 16. Verse 11, we see where the crowds begin to gather due to this healing. We see verses 12 through 15, just watch what Peter does when the crowds begin to gather. Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power, our godliness, we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Peter does not say, "Look at me, look at what I did. Look at John, look what John did." He says, he points them to Christ. He gives them the message, the hope, the means to that healing. He gives them the hope that they have. He is faithful to the gospel, of sharing the gospel instead of pointing to him. We see that in verse 16, Peter explains that it is by faith. It says, "In the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." The Bible addresses miracles in John 2:11, We see this during when Jesus changed water to wine at the wedding. It says in verse 11, the first of miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. John 20, verses 30 and 31 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, we see where Jesus in his earthly ministry brings the crowds to him through these healings. And then he reveals who he is. And that is the point of the miracles that are taking place at this point, is the point to Christ. It's not for the disciples and apostles to enjoy. It is to point to Christ. And we see that here in the text. We see where Peter was faithful to use this opportunity, this miracle, to point them to Christ. But the supreme fact of this story, church, don't miss this, is that Christ still has power after his ascension through the body of Christ. The same miracles are happening as they did on Jesus' earthly ministry. The power to save, church, is still available. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. Keep the confidence in that gospel. As we heard just 2 weeks ago, don't forget your first love. Don't forget how you were saved and what you were saved from. This gospel that we carry saves. Be faithful, church. Take the opportunity when they come. Seek the opportunities. A few weeks ago, I woke up one morning to a text that asking for pit bulls, if I had pit bulls for sale. And I'm thinking, they have dialed the wrong number. So I told them they had the wrong number. Not long later, I get another text, and another, and another. And then I get a phone call. And I find out through this phone call what has happened. My number has been put in an ad in Atlanta for pit bulls. And so if you want to sell pit bull, if you want to get in the dog business, get in the pit bulls. Because for 3 or 4 days straight, phone calls and texts, one after another. And it was getting old after a while, but I was just trying to be nice and tell them they had the wrong number. I hope you find the right number, and I hope you can tell them they have the wrong number listed. So I'm telling all my friends about it, telling people about it, laughing about it. And then one of the interns and I were out to eat one night, and we kind of came up with the thought, why don't you start sharing the gospel to them, Bo? So it wasn't a few minutes later than that, I get a missed call. We were out to dinner, so I couldn't answer it. So after dinner, I called the guy. Well, I anticipated it first because I'm sitting there, how am I going to go from pit bulls to the gospel? And what is this guy going to think of me? So I said, I got to do it. And so I called him back. I told him he had the wrong number. I was beating around the bush for a minute. Then I just finally asked him. I said, can I ask you a question while I got you on the phone? He said, sure. I said, are you a Christian? And he said, I am. And so I thought a minute. And downtown we get that a lot. People say they're Christians. So we kind of dig in and find out what they mean by that. So I was trying to dig in. And it was going nowhere. So I just finally asked him, I said, can I pray for you? He told me no, that he didn't need prayer. So we moved on. I get a text. I think the next day I sent a little text back. It says, you have the wrong number, but Jesus saves. And then I get I get another phone call, and the guy hangs up on me. And then after that, the matter was settled, the ad was erased, and I got no more opportunities to share the gospel. But after I recalled on that event, I seen how, my logic and the worries of my ego and not wanting my pride to get shaken made me hesitant to share the gospel when I had a perfect opportunity with someone I didn't even know. They didn't know me, and it was over the phone. So the Lord just convicted me there and says, Bo, you don't take every opportunity. And it just kind of humbled me, and it also just revealed to me why so many of us fail to share the gospel. It's because we're too worried about what people think of us. We have no confidence in the power of this message, and we do not seek the opportunities. So I just encourage you, church, take every single opportunity as they come, and don't worry about what happens. We are not called to share the gospel perfectly. We're just called to be faithful and confident in that message. So here in Acts 3, 1 through 16, we see where Peter is faithful to an opportunity with confidence in the gospel. The last point I want to bring up, and I think it's a major point, is the big question: how did Peter go from denying to being intentional, confident, and faithful? As we know, he denied Christ three times. I think the key to that is in verse 15 of our text. At the end, it says, "We are witnesses of this." Peter had now understood the gospel to its entirety. He understood what Christ had done for him. He seen the obedience of Christ on the cross, rising from the dead, resurrecting, ascending to the Father. He understood his sins, and he understood what Christ did for those sins. That is how he went from denying to being intentional, confident, and faithful. Just look how he addresses the people in Acts 2:23. It says, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Verses 32 through 33. "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." Verse 36. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 38 is a little Great Commission language. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter understood the gospel presentation, and we all, most of us, cherish that fact, and it is that we have inherited the sin of Adam and Eve. You and I cannot reach holiness. We cannot reach perfection. Our relationship with God has been separated due to our sin. But praise be to God, through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, living a perfect, sinless life in obedience to the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. He bore our wrath. Died, defeating death and sin, rising from the grave, and ascending to the Father, interceding on our behalf, calling us to faith and repentance to that message, that truth. And that is what we are to do. We are to respond to that, and we are to proclaim that message. So the big question is, was Peter a superman? Church, he was a changed man. Acts 4:7-13. Peter and John were brought before the people, and they began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, expressing the truth of Christ. Church, we are ordinary people with an extraordinary message. Take hope, take confidence, and be faithful to this gospel. Church, have you been impacted by the gospel in such a way that you cannot go without sharing your faith? You cannot pass by the opportunities to express what Christ has done for you, to give Him the glory, and to be faithful? Campbell Morgan says in relation to this story, he says, "Lame humanity is the church's opportunity. This indeed a pathetic story and picture. Lame humanity at the beautiful gate, but outside." Pay attention. "There at the gate with all the mountains far flung, splendorous, encircling the city, there where the steps went up to the temple. He lay, but outside. That is humanity's position, in the midst of beauty, but not of it. In the realm of things lovely and of good report, but excluded. That is the position of humanity. Everywhere it sighs and sobs and is in agony at the beautiful gate, but cannot get in. There is the church's opportunity." Church, take the cripple by the hand, give them the message, and bring them in. John 10, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved." These people don't have to earn nothing, church. They just have to accept what has been earned. This gospel message we carry, it has power to save. And church, we have it. And through the generations and through the years, the Great Commission baton has been passed down. We now have it. Who will you take it to? When will you take it? And where will you take it? Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the message of the gospel, the truth that we have and we hold, what we have been saved from, understanding, O God, that we are sinners, saved by grace. Father, may we be obedient to the call, the mandate of sharing our faith. Lord, may we take the opportunities to help that sinner who is lame in their sins by the hand, giving them the message of hope. Father, may you grant us strength to ignore our pride, our ego, our logic, and look to you, O God, for help. May, O God, you continue to lift up laborers of the harvest. Thank you, Lord, for blessing this church, because you do, O God, lift up laborers of the harvest from this church. And we are thankful for the opportunities we have. May we just continue to be more and more faithful, focused on your goal and your mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.